The following program is paid for by the friends and partners of Joyce Meyer Ministries.
You know, it really doesn't matter who you are, where you're from, or what your background is. We all have one important thing in common.
We all have questions, and God's Word is the source of all the answers that we're looking for. And I'm dedicated to sharing what I've learned in ways that you can apply to your life.
Everyday Answers with Joyce Meyer is coming soon, where we take your questions, discover together the answer in God's Word, and then face those daily challenges head on. So join us and join the conversation.
You've got what it takes. You are brilliant. You are absolutely amazing. You are created in the image of God. There is so much good stuff in you that you are just about to pop open with goodness. I love to teach on love because learning how to be a lot more aggressive in loving other people has sure brought a lot of joy into my life. And as you know, we even call our TV program Enjoying Everyday Life because I spent a lot of years as a Christian not really enjoying my life. And then I found out that Jesus died not only so we could go to heaven, but that we could enjoy the journey. And one of the ways that we do that is not the only way, but one of the ways that we do that is by getting ourselves off of our mind and aggressively on purpose being a blessing to other people everywhere that we go, in small ways, in large ways. And you have the ability to do that. As a believer in Christ, you are a new creature in Christ and you have a new nature. There is a part of you that wants to love people. There's a part of you that desires to walk in all the fruit of the Spirit. The Bible says in Galatians 5 that we have the fruit of the Spirit. It's in us. Love, joy, peace, patience, goodness, kindness, humility, meekness. All of those things are in you. Even self-control is in you. Imagine that. Everybody say, I've got it. But we also have a flesh. We also have that old nature. And even the Apostle Paul said that when he wanted to do right, something would war against him, almost forcing him to do what was wrong. He said, the thing I want to do, I can't do. And the thing I don't want to do, I always end up doing. So we have to realize that there is a war going on in our flesh. Satan is alive and well on planet Earth. But what we have in us is greater than what we have against us. Greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. Walk in the Spirit and you will not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. So we can fight with everything that we think we do wrong and all these temptations we have and fight with sin and feel guilty and condemned all the time. Or we can have a whole new focus. We can get up every day and say, today I'm going to live to love. And if you're full of love, full of caring for other people, full of really wanting to serve God with all of your heart, then there's not going to be any room for the bad stuff to get in. I just recently wrote a book on making good habits and breaking bad habits. And I didn't call it breaking bad habits, making good habits. I called it making good habits, breaking bad habits, because if you will focus on doing the right thing, the wrong thing won't be able to find a place to get into your life. So I frankly don't want to fight all the time with selfishness. I don't want to fight all the time with impatience. And I would tend toward being impatient. That's probably one of the greater weaknesses in the choleric or the type A personality, is we know what we want. We're firm about it. We've made a decision, we're going after it, and God help you if you get in our way. And so I've learned to be patient with people. I'm not perfected in it yet, but I sure have come a long way. And so if I purpose to be patient with people, then there's no room for the impatience to operate in me. You've got what it takes. You are brilliant. You are absolutely amazing. You are created in the image of God. There is so much good stuff in you that you are just about to pop open with goodness. You've got what it takes. And if you don't believe that you can do this, then you're never going to do it. You can live to love other people. And you do it for God. You don't do it for you. You don't do it for what you get out of it. Yes, you do it to make other people happy, but even that should be a second motive. Our first motive is to do it for God, to say thanks to Him for everything that He's done to us. How many of you want to show appreciation to God for everything that He's done for you? You want to say thank you, Jesus. Well, how many ways can you do that? We can say thank you, Jesus, but there are millions of ways that we can do it if we simply will learn to be led by the Holy Spirit. It's amazing what happens, all the little things that God will show you personally that He may not ever show another human being, but God will show you little things that He wants you to do that may seem little, but they're big to somebody else and they're big to God, simply because you cared enough to listen to what He said and do them. Amen? My sister-in-law told me yesterday that one of the things that God puts on her heart to do, she walks every morning, and she lives in a neighborhood where there's a lot of elderly people, and she said, I started while I'm walking, picking up their newspapers and taking them up on the porch. Well, you know, that didn't cost her anything except a few steps. It's amazing what God can use us for if we will just simply be willing to follow the leadership of the Holy Spirit. Every single one of you should be a spy for God. I mean, we all should be spies for God. And what I mean by that is every morning you covertly go out into the world and you've got your God armor on. You know who you are in Christ. You don't go out to impress somebody. You don't go out to have people think well of you. You've set yourself aside. You've deposited yourself with God. And you're like, okay, God, I work for you. And can I tell you something? When you're on God's payroll, He'll always take care of you. You tend to God's business and He will always take care of your business. And then you watch and you wait and you listen and you look. And you know, you can even make lists. When you hear people tell you things that they would like to have, or things that they need, or even things that they want, if you can't do it right now, you can write it down. Pray about it. Ask God to provide what you need. Or let's say you hear of somebody who maybe doesn't have any furniture in their house. Or somebody says, you know, all I've got is bedroom furniture. I don't have any living room furniture. I don't have any kitchen furniture yet. Well, maybe you can't afford to go buy them all the furniture they need, but why don't you get aggressive enough to go get a few more Christians together and say, hey, why don't we make this happen for that person? You'll have so much fun. It will be absolutely amazing to you, the fun that you will have in meeting people's needs. Amen. Let's look at John chapter 21, verse 15 through 18. When they had eaten, Jesus said to Peter, Simon, son of John, do you love me more than all these others do? And of course, Peter answered back and said, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. It's a little bit lengthy in the Amplified, and I'm not going to actually read all that because we got three verses in a row that say pretty much the same thing. And then Jesus said to him, feed my lambs. How many of you see that right on the bottom? Yes, Lord, you know that I love you. Very last sentence there, feed my lambs. Okay, Jesus, Peter, do you love me? Yes, Lord, you know that I love you. Well, feed my lambs. Second time, Peter, do you love me? Yes, Lord, you know that I love you. Verse 16 says the same thing. Verse 17, feed my sheep, feed my lambs. It says that Peter began to get a little bit bothered that Jesus was asking him the third time, do you love me? It's almost like, well, you sound like you don't believe me. Yes, I love you. But then it comes back with an instruction, feed my lambs. Now, what in the world does that mean? It's very simple. You know what? If I was saying it in today's language, here's what I would say. Peter, do you love me? Yes, Lord, you know that I love you. Well, help somebody. Peter, do you love me? Yes, Lord, you know that I love you. Well, help somebody. Peter, do you love me? Yes, Lord, you know that I love you. Well, help somebody. The greatest way that we can show our love and appreciation for what Jesus has done for us in dying for us, taking the penalty for our sins, shedding his blood, taking the keys of hell and death away from Satan, resurrecting from the dead, and letting us share in everything that he bought and paid for. We are joint heirs with Christ. The best way that we can say thank you for the life that we have is by helping somebody else. How many of you would, if your children were off in a foreign land, which in some ways that's kind of the way we are, you know, the earth is really not our home. We're like living in a foreign land and we're God's children. How many of you, if your children were off in a foreign land, you would really appreciate it if somebody else would bless them and help them and help meet their needs? Well, God appreciates it when we do that also. Help somebody. One of the simplest things in the world that we can do. Every day of your life, you can have an opportunity to do this. There will not be a day that will go by that you won't have an opportunity to do this. Now, in order to do this, if you're going to have your mind full of what you can do for other people, guess what? There's no room to have your mind on you all day long. So I guess I could come at it two ways. I could say, get your mind off yourself so you can help other people. And I've said that plenty of times. But I think maybe even a better way to say it is get your mind so full of what you can do for other people that you don't have any time left to think about yourself. The more you're a blessing to others, how many of you have noticed the more idle you are, the more unhappy you get? You sit around all day and do nothing, and then the next day you do nothing. I'm telling you what, Monday, Tuesday, by the time Wednesday comes, you're mad. You don't like your life. You're mad at everybody in the house. You're full of self-pity. Why? Just simply because you didn't have anything to do but just sit around and think about you. But if you'd get out and be a blessing to somebody else. Now, of course, the flesh doesn't want any kind of inconvenience. Well, I don't want to do that. You know, the flesh doesn't like to be cold. It doesn't like to be hot. You all love the TV program, but we get complaints about the bright lights. You know. Give me a break. Let's look at Philippians 2, 4 through 7. I think we want to live with a whole new attitude. Philippians chapter 2. You know, Jesus could not have come here to earth and made the sacrifice that he made for us had he not had and maintained a proper attitude. And you know, in Ephesians 4, it says that we need to renew our mind and our attitude every single day. Let each of you esteem and look upon and be concerned for not merely his own interests, but also each for the interests of others. Let this same attitude and purpose and a humble mind be in you, which was in Christ Jesus. What was Jesus' purpose? He came here to set captives free, to open prison doors. He came to help us. So our purpose every day can be to help other people. Let this same attitude and humble mind be in you, which was in Christ Jesus. Let him be your example in humility, who although being essentially one with God, and in the form of God, possessing the fullness of the attributes which make God God, he did not think this equality with God was a thing to be eagerly grasped or retained. But he stripped himself of all privileges and rightful dignity so as to assume the guise of a servant, a slave, in that he became like men and was born a human being. Now let's just stop there for just a second. Jesus coming here and taking on human flesh. The only way I can even begin to make a comparison, and it's probably still a bad one, would be if you or I would decide that for all of the kingdom of little ants crawling around the ground in the world, so they could have a better life, we were going to leave our humanity and become a little ant. and crawl around in the dirt with them all of our life so they could have a happy life. I don't think we grasp the magnitude of what God has done for us in sending his own son, who was living in glory, to come here. What could it have been like for God to have taken on human flesh? It had to be quite challenging. And by the way, just so we remember it, going to the cross was not easy. If we remember Gethsemane, he had to pray so hard to be able to press through the demands that his flesh was making on him that he sweated great drops of blood. That's a lot of pressure, folks. So it's not going to hurt us to resist temptation to be selfish once in a while and just go ahead and let the flesh be uncomfortable and do the thing that we believe God is asking us to do. Let me give you one example. Do you know, and this is a fairly accurate percentage because I've been teaching for 37 years, and so I've done lots and lots and lots of meetings like this. And about 80% of all Christians are mad at somebody. I mean, I could have changed my message this morning and came in here and taught on strife, bitterness, resentment, unforgiveness, anger. And I could have asked at the end, how many of you, God's reminded you today that you're angry at someone and you want prayer? There would have been 70 to 80% of the hands that went up. But the Bible tells us plainly that our faith won't work without love. Mark 11, when you pray, if you have anything against anyone, if you have anything against anyone, if you have anything against anyone, anything, even if you think it's justified, God says, no, 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 no. We justly deserve God's anger, and he's not mad at us today. Come on. I mean, we deserve for God to be mad at us. We deserve for him to reject us and put us out of his presence. Certainly not to be good to us, but he's none of that. Why? Because God is love. Love can't find an excuse to stay mad. Something I like to pray every morning, and if I can't pray it, then I stop and get my little self straightened out. God, I am not mad at anybody today. There's nothing in my heart against anyone. And if something pops up in there that I've forgotten, then I have to take care of it. If you're mad at somebody, leave it, drop it, let it go so your faith can work. Pray for your enemies. Be a blessing to your enemies. I tell pastors all the time, if you had somebody in your church and you trusted them and you trained them up and you gave them a position in leadership and they ended up going a mile away and starting a church and taking part of your congregation, the best thing that you can do, the most powerful thing you can do, is buy them a sound system. You say, why would I want to do that? Because if you bless them, if they're doing something wrong, it is not going to prosper anyway. And if you have a good attitude, whoever they took will come back to you and probably bring some others with them. But if you get bitter and resentful, then you're going to shut down the anointing in your own congregation and more people will leave. Same thing works in your private life. You get mad at somebody, first thing to do is pray for them. You say, well, I don't want them to be blessed. I get it. I understand that. You can even tell God, I don't really want them to be blessed, but you told me to pray that they would be, so I'm going to pray that they will be. Amen. Oh, are you guys getting this? All right. Man, I don't know about you, but I need this today. This is going to make me behave better. 80% of Christians, in some way, shape, or form, are angry at any given time. I mean, you might be angry about something today and get over it, and, you know, then you're okay for a week or two, and then, you know, something else happens. I mean, there, you know, you have 40, 50 opportunities every week to get offended, by the way. But they are opportunities that you don't have to take. We can say, no, thank you. Been there, done that. I don't care to go around that mountain one more time. But we have to have a right attitude. And the attitude that helps that is this same humble attitude that Jesus took on, which perhaps says, you know what? I don't do everything right either. I'm sure sometimes I hurt people's feelings and don't even know it. There are times when I have a grouchy, cranky day, and I may really be harsh or rude to somebody, and I sure hope that they'll be gracious and forgive me. So then why are we not willing to do that same thing for other people? You can sow seed by living with other people the way that you want them to live with you when you're in the same situation. Let's put some goodwill in the bank and start forgiving people. But it takes an attitude. And really what I want to talk to you about today is an attitude. The attitude of a servant. We don't like that terminology today. When the Bible says servant, it puts behind it slave. And we certainly have a bad idea of slavery because we've seen slavery in a wrong way. But God is talking about not someone who enslaves you, but you willingly making yourself a servant or a slave. The Bible talks about a bond slave. And a bond slave was someone, because there was a lot of slavery in Jesus' day, and when their masters would set them free, a bond slave was someone who said, well, I appreciate my freedom, but now of my own free will, I'm going to serve you just the way that I was when you were making me do it, except now you're not making me do it. I'm doing it because I want to. And see, only a free person can be a servant. You cannot be a real servant, because I'm not just talking about doing a lowly job. I'm talking about having the attitude of a servant. I'm talking about believing that you're blessed in serving other people and doing it unto the Lord. You know, I gave my little example last night. I said, if I spilled my water and asked somebody to get me some, 50 people would bolt to the door or get me water, and you'd think it was just great. You'd even tell people, oh, I got to give Joyce some water. She's on TV, and I got to take her some water. It's amazing how important people think you are when you're on TV. Well, you know, just about anybody can get on TV today if they can pull it off. There's some stuff on TV that certainly isn't worth watching. But then one of your kids or your husband or your wife at home can say, oh, if you're going to the kitchen, would you bring me some water? You know, what do you think I am, a slave around here? It's all about attitude. And I'll tell you one thing, you know, I tell a lot of stories about Dave, but I'll tell you one thing about Dave. Dave is, he is good to me at home. I mean, I'm going to tell you some other stories about Dave, too, this weekend, but, you know. I mean, if I start to get up out of my chair to get something, say, what do you want? And he'll go get it. I have a heating pad that I put on my back sometimes just to relax, and I'll do it. I'll do it. He'll do it, you know. So this has worked so well for so long. Now I just find things for him to do. Honey, would you take the dog out? Could I have some water? Could you get me this? Could I have a clean? Now I just give him lists. When you get up, could you get my heating pad, get me a Kleenex and something to drink? You know, if it's not broke, why fix it? Amen. I have to be honest with you and tell you that Dave is a lot better at the servant thing than I am. I'm still working on that. If you're gifted in that area and you just naturally love helping people, God bless you. But, you know, to be honest, I got to work at it. I have to do it on purpose. How many of you are going to have to join me and do it on purpose? All right. You can live to love other people. And you do it for God. You don't do it for you. You don't do it for what you get out of it. Yes, you do it to make other people happy, but even that should be a second motive. Our first motive is to do it for God, to say thanks to Him for everything that He's done to us. How many of you want to show appreciation to God for everything that he's done for you? You want to say, thank you, Jesus. Well, how many ways can you do that? We can say, thank you, Jesus, but there are millions of ways that we can do it if we simply will learn to be led by the Holy Spirit. And you know something I do tell myself every day when I'm praying? I say things like, you know, God, I'm no better than anybody else. It's not going to hurt me at all to do things for people. Show me people that need help. And I'm not just talking about like this kind of help. I'm talking about like in my daily life. I want to do the same things that I tell you all to do. Otherwise, I don't think it's got any power. If I just stand up here and preach to you and I don't have any kind of life backing it up, then I think it's void and useless and without power. Let me tell you something. The most powerful things that you do in your life are the things that are done in secret. Did you hear me? I said the most powerful things that you do in your life are the little things that you do in secret for somebody else that nobody ever knows but you and God. But let me tell you something. Your reward comes from God. Amen. Verse 7, but he stripped himself of all privileges. I'm in Philippians 2:7. He stripped himself of all privileges and rightful dignity so as to assume the guise of a servant and a slave, in that he became like men and was born a human being. And after he appeared in human form, he abased and humbled himself still further and carried his obedience to the extreme of death, even the death of the cross. Now, you know, doing something for somebody is pretty easy if you feel like it and you want to and you got plenty of time and plenty of money and a whole lot of what they need anyway. But if it becomes a deeper sacrifice, then we have to be willing not to get on a cross and die, but to let our flesh go to the cross and die. Because your flesh will fight against you. Even though you have the good in you, and there's a desire in there to obey God and to do what's right, you can count on it, your flesh is going to fight against you, at least until you get very well practiced in these areas. And it's always harder in the beginning of anything than it is later on. I don't have that much difficulty forgiving people now because I totally get the whole spiritual principle behind it. But I went through years of fighting with that thing, and it would be so hard for me to forgive people and not only forgive them, but then to see them somewhere and treat them decent, or not to talk about them behind their back and tell everybody what they had done to me. Now that's hard. Have you ever been mad at somebody and you heard somebody talking about what a great person they were? And let me ask you, was it impossible for you to keep your mouth shut and say, well, let me tell you a few things that you may not know? That was a hard one for me to get over. Like, yeah, they really are sweet. Yes. Praise the Lord. God bless them. They're just a wonderful person. So that means dying to self. That's the cross that we carry, not to live a selfish, self-centered, self-absorbed life. Thank God we don't have to go get on a cross and shed our blood and die. Our sins are paid for. We've been redeemed. We've been set free. And we're free not only to enjoy our lives, but the greatest thing is we're free to help everybody else enjoy theirs. Doesn't it make you happy today that you're free to bring joy to somebody else in their life? I hope I'm making you happy today, because the happier I make you, the happier I'm going to be. Amen? Now watch this. Here comes reward. Verse 9. Therefore, because he stooped so low, God has highly exalted him and has freely bestowed upon him the name that is above every name, that in and at the name of Jesus, every knee must bow. Now, because he humbled himself, became a servant, didn't consider that this equality he had with God was something that he had to grasp onto and hold onto, but he made himself a servant. Because of that, there was given unto him a name above every name that is so full of power that still to this day, when the name of Jesus is spoken, there is an anointing that is released and demonic forces tremble and shake. And you know what I found out? The most powerful person on earth is someone who lives as a servant unto God and does everything that they can to make other people's lives better. That's the powerful person. If you want to add power to your life, just start doing more for other people. If you're in ministry and you want to add power to your pulpit, in your private life, behind the scenes, in secret, do everything that you can to bless somebody else's life. And when you mention the name of Jesus, something's going to happen. Faith only works by love. I can believe for great things to happen, but if I have no love walk. Galatians 5 says faith is energized by love. My faith has no energy without love. Don't go through life doing the least that you can. Do the most that you can. Little things. When you go out and eat, don't give people the littlest, tiniest, down to the penny tip that you can give them. And whatever you do, do not leave a gospel track and no money. Oh, that is bad, bad, bad to the bone bad. And don't be a rude Christian. Don't go in a restaurant with your cross hanging around your neck and your earphones plugged in. And when you don't get everything exactly the way you want it, be rude and ridiculous. I remember going to a restaurant one time in St. Louis after a conference, and I'm tired when my conferences are done, and really the first thing I want to go do is get a good meal and have some good fellowship and just enjoy. And we made a reservation at a restaurant, and when we got there, they told us they didn't take reservations. It's like, well, you took ours. So now they said, well, you're going to have to wait 45 minutes. And we're like, well, we asked for reservations. You gave us, well, we don't take reservations. Well, you need to tell your employees that because they took ours. That wasn't getting us anywhere. So we waited. Finally got a table. It was really crowded in there. And there was like, I think, 10 or 12 of us at this big, long table. And we were all dressed up. Dave had on a suit and I had on jazzy clothes. And so this girl came over to take our drink order, and we told her what we wanted, and she came back with this huge tray of drinks, and she leaned over and dumped the thing on Dave. Just coffee, tea, all over him and his nice suit. And so she was just a nervous wreck. Well, Dave said, don't worry about it, it's not a problem. He went to the manager. He said, look, I don't want her to get in trouble. This is not her fault. It's too crowded in here. She didn't have the right room to walk behind me. I don't want her to get in trouble. He went out of his way to make sure that that girl didn't get in trouble. Well, when she came back with the second tray of drinks, she stood behind Dave and she looked at me and she said, I'm so sorry. She said, you see, I was so nervous because I watch you on TV. And in my heart, I'm going, thank you, God, thank you, thank you, thank you. Oh, thank you, God, thank you that I didn't act bad. Woo, Jesus, hallelujah. I tell you, this being on TV thing has got its responsibility. Can you imagine the damage that I could have done? And you know, I remember something that God spoke to me when my TV program first started really doing well. He said, I want you to always remember that however many people you can help, that's exactly how many you can hurt. And so we need to realize that just our daily attitude can help people. Or it can hurt people. It can lead people to Christ, or it can drive them away from Christ. Amen. Acts 10:38 says, see how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and power, who went about doing good, and in particular curing all that were oppressed of the devil. That's Acts 10:38. I love that about Jesus, that he just went about doing good. Jesus. are amazing, powerful, awesome. God and Savior just got up every day, had breakfast with the boys, and went about doing good. Well, you know, I've decided that I can went about doing good. You don't even have to have a college degree to do that. You don't have to go to seminary. You can just went about to the grocery store, in traffic, in your neighborhood, at school, at work. You just went about and served the Lord with gladness. Be a blessing everywhere that you go. This is Christianity 101 made simple. For God so loved the world that he gave. He cared for the poor. They always carried money with them to give to the poor. And Paul, after many years not being with the other apostles because he didn't know if they would receive him because he had formerly been persecuting the church, when he finally did present himself to the other apostles to see if they had any instructions for him, the Bible says that they did not require him to do anything at all other than they just reminded him to make sure that he helped the poor, which thing he said, I was very happy to do. Now, when we think about the poor, what do we really envision? Are poor people just the people who live on the streets and have no money, have no food, don't have proper clothing? Yes, those are poor people, but I've taken a new definition of poor because it gives me a wider base of people to help, and I don't ever want to run out of people to help. So I've decided that anybody poor, at least as far as I'm concerned, is somebody who has a need and has no way of meeting that need themselves. A poor person is someone who has less than you do. And you know why I've decided to look at it like that? Because although they might not be poor in the true definition of the poor, I remember when Dave and I never had the money to go out and eat. I remember when I never got a new outfit, maybe for a year. I remember when I had to take a calculator to the grocery store with me and I could not spend one penny over $35 a week for groceries. And when I got to the checkout lane, if I had more than that $35 worth or $70 for 2 weeks, because we only went every 2 weeks, then I had to start taking stuff back and putting it back where it belonged. And it was in that grocery store that God taught me a lot of lessons about his nature and how he wants us to be excellent. Little things you've heard me talk about, putting my grocery cart back where it belonged, when I got something in my cart and I got to the checkout lane and realized I couldn't keep it, not sticking the lettuce in the cleanser, but going and putting it back where it belonged. Let me tell you something. If you want to go to the school of the Holy Ghost, he will teach you and use you everywhere that you go. You don't have to go to church to find God. He's everywhere. And you don't necessarily have to go to Bible college to learn how to minister. All you have to do is say, God, teach me in my everyday life how I can serve you and do everything that you want me to do. This is what the church is missing. Being a Christian is about more than going and parking your little behind on a pew every Sunday morning for 45 minutes while you sleep through half of it and can't wait for it to get over and go out and not do anything for anybody else. That is not Christianity. And I hope nobody misunderstands this. I love local church. I think it is amazing. But I want to say something. I want you to take it in the right spirit. I think sometimes we make too much out of, I go to church. And not enough out of, I live the life. And that's what we need to do. Are you a Christian? Well, I go to church. Well, that doesn't tell me you're a Christian. Some of the meanest people in the world are in church. I've had the benefit of their meanness over the years, let me tell you. And we need to go to church to be instructed, to fellowship with other people, to learn, to be accountable to somebody, but it is useless if we just keep it in the church. We don't just act like God on Sunday morning and then go act like the devil the rest of the week. Peter, do you love me? Help somebody. Matthew 20, verse 20. Then the mother of Zebedee's children came up to him with her sons, and kneeling down, she worshiped him and said, "Could you do me a favor?" And he said, "Well, what is it that you want?" And she said, "Give orders that these two sons of mine might sit one at your right hand and one at your left when you come into your kingdom." But Jesus replied, "You don't even realize what you're asking. Are you able to drink the cup that I'm about to drink and to be baptized with the baptism with which I am baptized?" Now look here. If you want to sit with Jesus, then you got to be willing to be a servant like Jesus was a servant. This woman didn't know what she was talking about. She wanted her sons to have titles and positions and to be well thought of. And Jesus said, "Are you able to drink the cup that I drink? Are you able to live the self-sacrificing life that I'm going to live? Are you able to forget yourself and meet the needs of other people?" Isn't that what Jesus did? So what are we really saying when we say, "I want to be like Jesus"? I mean, it can't just be this floaty, cloud-like, "Oh, yes, just make me like you, Jesus. It's all about you, Jesus." I just don't do well with that kind of stuff. I mean, look, we're having fun in here, but here's the bad news. You got to go home. And when you do, I want you to go home and act like you got something. I want you to go home and be so changed that next year, if anybody hears I'm anywhere in the vicinity, they'll pay you to go back. And get some more of that God help you got the last time, because you came home in better condition than you were when you left. You do not know what you're asking for. He said to them, "You will drink the cup that I drink, but seats at my right and left hand, those are not mine to give, but they are for those for whom it has been ordained and prepared by my Father." And I love this part. Then when the other 10 disciples heard this, they got indignant. They're like, "Well, who do you think you are? We're those seats are going to be ours, surely. You guys are way down the list when it comes to those positions." That's what it means to be indignant, you know. It's like, "Who do you think you are?" See, I've had a lot of practice at all this. And Jesus called them to him and said, "You know that the rulers and the Gentiles lord it over them, and great men hold them in subjection, tyrannizing them." Verse 26, "Not so shall it be among you, but whoever wishes to be great among you must be your servant." Good, I got three people clapping over here. And what does this mean? It doesn't mean that you have to go scrub the floor before you leave, although if it needs to be scrubbed, you're not too good to. But that doesn't mean that that's what I'm asking you to do. What I'm asking is for myself and for all of us to realize the great importance of where we're at in society today and what is going on in the world today. And there is no hope for society without us. It's getting darker, and when I say us, I mean God working through us. If I said to any of you, how many of you believe that God is the answer, you'd all say yes. But how do we think that people are going to see God? Well, yes, we'd love for him to appear. I'd love that. Jesus, come on down here and straighten this out. But until he does, he's got us. We've got him, but we're all he's got. You and me, we are all that God has got. And if we are going to be easily offended and touchy and keep a list of every little wrong thing that everybody does to us and get out in society and rant and rave on people and be impatient with every little mistake that they make, how can we expect anybody to want what we have? How can we expect the church to do anything but decrease in size week by week by week? And worldwide, and I'm sure this church is growing, and there are many churches that are growing, but worldwide, there are less people going to church now than at any other time in history. And that is spooky, scary. And you know why? Because a lot of people don't really see anything real about the life of a Christian. And I am determined that as long as I've got breath, I am going to teach people, if we're going to do this, then let's not let it be a name only. Let's bear the fruit and live the life. Amen? You know, Acts 10:38 is actually one of my favorite scriptures. It says that Jesus went about doing good. You know, that's just so beautifully simple to me. That we can just so improve our life and the lives of other people if we will just simply get up every day and say, God, show me who I can be good to today. You know, Jesus said that we should love others as He loves us. The greatest commandment is to love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And the second is to love your neighbor as you love yourself. So today we're offering you some teaching on living to love. We called it our L2L series, where I taught about living to love. Don't just do it once in a while, but make it a lifestyle. And you know, sadly, so often when we offer teaching on the subject of love, people don't seem to be as interested in it, but I'm telling you, it is one of the most important things that you can do. If you want to greatly improve the quality of your own life, then you need to learn how to get yourself off your mind and reach out to other people. Learn how you can be a blessing literally everywhere that you go. And I can tell you, when you set yourself to be a blessing, the blessings of God will abound in your life. And guess what? We have a free gift for you. When you order the CDs, you're going to get a bracelet like this. It's a neat little bracelet that we had made just for this seminar when I did it, and also to offer it when we put this on TV. And it says L2L on it. And that's to remind you to live to love. And then it says John 13:34, where Jesus said, "One new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another just as I have loved you. By this love shall all men know that you are my disciples." This is going to stir up some conversation. First of all, it's going to remind you to walk in love. And secondly, other people are going to ask you about it, and you can share with them how important it is to be a loving person. Thank you. Be sure you take advantage of this offer and go out today and make somebody else feel better about their life. We've got all these medical volunteers here that have come, and they're serving over there. They're washing like 1,000 feet today. It's like amazing. These little kids who live on the street, and they have their feet are just so dirty. They've got like scrub brushes and little toothbrushes, yeah, trying to get layers and layers.
I saw a lady up here actually washing this girl's entire body, and I was thinking, wow, what ministry of Jesus is that? You know, to take a pretty dirty child, yeah, and wash him from head to toe, and then they put new clothes on him, and it was just pretty awesome.
This is my first international trip, and I was one of those people that, even as a pediatrician, not always knowing the devastation, the need. Some of these kids are getting their face washes, babies are getting their first bath, and so it's really nice to see how it changes. They come in with a frown and they leave with a big smile.
To come here and see people who have lots of medical needs and have no way of having it met. So I think about my own kids a lot and how amazing they have it in the States. And then to be able to have this medical clinic and have record numbers where we're seeing 1,800 patients a day is just, unbelievable. But as a father, I can't think of anything better to do with my time.
Well, I'm here in Sri Lanka, and with me are some medical professionals that have volunteered their time to come here and help hurting people. And if you're a medical professional, a doctor, a dentist, a nurse, pharmacist, a chiropractor, please consider volunteering to come and help people who otherwise wouldn't have any help. So what do you think? Is this a good thing to do?
Yeah!
Life is messy, but you don't have to let the things going on around you affect what's going on inside you. You can unleash yourself from the pressures of stress. Overload by Joyce Meyer. It's coming soon.
Get your free subscription to Enjoying Everyday Life magazine today at joycemeyer.org.